Time now for Fitzy and Mego with Nick Fitzy Stevens and Megan Ottolini on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
A lot of rumors. A lot of rumors out there on Soto, and I'm not buying them. You know, because here's the thing, okay? If this was at the point where we were pending a physical, or the years and the money were already determined, and it's been 24 hours, don't you think Jeff Passan would, like, check on it? Don't you think John Heyman, who's, like, boys with Boris, would make a call? And you haven't heard anything from them. So I'm not buying any of it. All right, maybe it's the winter meetings, maybe it's before that, we'll see. The good news is you haven't been ruled out. You know, in years past, by now, it's like, yeah, the Sox are out of this thing. And you start hearing those rumblings. Yeah, haven't you? So it's a good thing.
That was our old pal Lou, sweet Lou Merlone.
Walking the dog.
I love, you know, both of us have had a chance to work with him, and that's not code for anything. He was actually just out walking his dog. Lou does these great little videos, if you've followed him at this point now, at Lou Merlone on Twitter and beyond. That's still primarily his platform. He does these great videos where he takes the dog for a walk and then just does anywhere between a minute to 2 minutes, usually Red Sox and MLB centric. It's a perfect place to just do a little shareable, nice little snack size takeaway of analysis, thought, and perspective. I'm kind of with him as well. You know, it's great that they haven't been ruled out. The interest seems to be sincere. I'm going to need to, like, if I had to guess right now, Mego, like, I'm with you. Like, if you have a chance to go get the best player, like, maybe the second best player in baseball, you know, damn the torpedoes, spend the money, and then figure out what to do with the people on the current roster, the kids and beyond. Trade him for picks, who knows? Because he's going to be a massive part. He will be your North Star of this next iteration of the Red Sox.
Yeah, and Fitzy, I think what Lou, like, I don't want to speak for him, but the way that I interpreted what he was doing on that walk was saying, he's not buying all the rumors because sometimes you don't realize these, quote, MLB insiders, how close they are to the agents like Boris who are trying to execute this deal. And if it had gotten done, if it was this close with the particular team, Red Sox or otherwise, you know, it's the kind of thing that if it was really that close, one of those insiders would be able to text Boris, would be able to say what's going on here. And if you're not getting a response back, that means that there's something that the negotiators are still trying to protect. And if you're still trying to protect something within the negotiation, means the negotiation's not done. It means you haven't crossed the finish line and you're not close enough to where things can't still fall through.
Yeah. So nothing is done. So, you know, as much as we all wanted to buy into the Hector Gomez report yesterday, what Beyond Average Mick had to say on Twitter as well. I would love for both of them to be correct and to have this be the best early Christmas present slash holiday bundle we could drop in the laps of all of y'all. Lou's probably right. Like, Lou knows how the sausage is made. Lou understands the backdoor dealings and the mechanics of baseball. So while we want to get our hopes up at the same time, I think it's not, I'm not saying, like, proceed with caution, but just don't go over the moon just yet. But let's see what the good people of WEEI and Sox Nation have to say. Back to the phones we go. We will take you in the order in which you called in, and that begins with Brian in New London, Connecticut. Happy Friday, Brian.
Happy Hello, Friday. Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to bring a cautionary tale about the greatest hitter in baseball and the record of the team that signed him for a record pay deal. Okay. As Mike Trout. The Angels have gone nowhere. So this whole Juan Soto thing with the Red Sox, I'm not really for it. Issues pitching. And, you know, if you compare them to the Pats, they've had a problem with a line since what was it? The guy's name was Waterhouse or something like that. But, you know, they've been
Marshall Newhouse had to fill in at left tackle in 2019. Yes, that's who you're talking about.
Newhouse. Right. So, you know, I don't see this as a really a great thing. They're going to saddle themselves with potential Mike Trout future.
All right. Thank you for the call, Brian. Mego, do you think that the Red Sox should rather prioritize pitching, drawing the cross sports comp to you need to build an offensive line? I think, what was the line, Joe? You watched the entirety of the, you took the notes on the Gerard Mayo availability today. What did he say about, like, needing to, what was his?
Got to build a foundation before you put up the blinds.
That's right. Yes, yeah. Thank you. So do you think that the Red Sox need to prioritize pitching and defense over somebody like Juan Soto this particular offseason?
Well, it's kind of like, if you want to continue with that reference to football, it'd be looking at it and saying, if Jamar Chase shook loose, would you say we can't go out and pay for Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson because we need to focus on the line and other spots of the team that need improvement? No. I would say when you're in need of talent, and the Red Sox are not in such a dire place as the Patriots when it comes to having high-end talent on the roster, I'd say if the talent becomes available, you should move heaven and earth to go and get that talent. And does that mean that you can't go out and get free agents for pitching? Yes, of course you need free agents for pitching. You've needed that for years and years at this point. But again, show me that you're committed to the plan that you've been selling the fans on for the last several years of, we're going to eat our vegetables in the farm system right now, eat your veggies, get all your vitamins, drink your milk, get big and strong, and then we get to have all the desserts right now. But you have to do that first. If you just keep shoving vegetables down everybody's throats, you're going to get a bunch of pissed off people with mouths full of asparagus. Like, we can't continue this way forever when you're the Red Sox. You're not the Orioles. You're not Tampa. You're not the White Sox, even. Like, you're not any of those teams. At some point, if you want to keep fans engaged with this team, and even a casual fan, you have to go out and make a spend like this. And so, you know, you look at the Mike Trout situation. Yeah, there are a lot of contracts across pro sports and MLB in particular where it ages like milk within 5 years. That contract looks like a disaster right now. I don't think that should be a cautionary tale for you to say, we're never going to go out and spend on a hitter again. Okay, who's been the guy who's been supposedly talking, you know, Soto's ear off and talking to everybody in town? It's Ortiz. Like, you pay Ortiz, so go and pay a hitter. You can't look at one situation and say that's a cautionary tale, we can't do that. Look at what's worked for you.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, when they were talking about Shohei Ohtani getting, you know, half a billion, 600, I never had thought it was going to go 10 for $700 million when the deal was struck. I was for them trying to find a way to do a Lionel Messi type of deal, which I know goes against the collective bargaining agreement, and the union would never allow for something like that. Like the money that he's making for Inter Miami in MLS, like, you can have part of the team. We'll give you a percentage of the state. We'll give you like a parking space. We'll give you jersey sales. We'll give you a percentage of how many people sign up on Apple Plus TV for the MLS package. Because sometimes stars are worth that much money. Like, if you're legitimate, like, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, who I mentioned earlier, they don't deserve that kind of stuff. But if your player like a Shohei Ohtani is going to do that, or if Juan Soto did that for the Sox, I don't care. Give him part of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Give him, you know, 25 seats in the ballpark. Give him, you know, Fenway Johnnies. I don't care if that player is worth it. Now, the contract Mike Trout signed 2019 to 2030 with the Angels, 12 years, $426.5 million. Average annual salary of about $35.5 million.
The biggest at the time.
Yeah. He, you know, he's been banged up. Obviously, the Angels are not a well-run team because they never put a good team around he and Shohei, which is why he was more than happy. They should have traded away Ohtani. That's one of the greatest botchings in free agency history, or deadline deal management. You know, they handled it wrong. Okay, so learn from that and try to figure out a better way to structure and keep your star player happy. Let's move on. One more call, but one or two more calls before the break. We can stretch it for a sec here. How about, oh, here he is. Carl's back on the Cape. Hello, Carl.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you, Fitzy?
Hey, great to hear from you, Carl. Where are you on the Cape, my guy?
I am just outside. Let's just call it Bourne. How's that?
Upper Cape. Very nice.
Just outside of Boston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So, swing by the Lobster Trap and tell them Fitzy sent you. Go have a delicious
meal. Baby.
The best.
Yes, sir. Hey, so this Juan Soto thing, this to me is the 2024 version of Manny Ramirez. It's the same equivalent. I mean, you only get so many times to go and acquire a generational talent, a guy that's, you know, I mean, let's face it, he's a future Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. He's probably the best pure hitter in baseball right now. He's certainly the most if not the most feared in the, you know, in the top level most of most feared hitters. Mm-hmm. He offers protection for Rafael Devers, which, let's face it, has been a problem for the last 3 years for Rafi. He's got no real protection in that lineup.
Yep.
So, you know, these teams have the opportunity to pitch around him. You know, look, this also frees up, you could probably maybe move one of your prospect outfielders, dare I say, Roman Anthony, so on and so forth, Abreu, and go get that, acquire that young starting pitcher that you really need as well. So I think it could do a multitude of things. It certainly would put butts in the seats at Fenway. Let's face it, Nesson subscriptions have been down consecutive years. So, look, this guy could be the face of the franchise, and for a Red Sox team that right now is missing one, I think he's invaluable. I mean, look, if it's 12 years, $65 million, you got to do it. It is what it is. You're the Boston Red Sox. So why not go get that superstar that your fan base deserves and at this point is starving for?
It's a great call, Carl. Thank you very much. Have a great holiday season and enjoy the weekend. Say hello to the Cape for me. I miss it terribly. Mego, there is an interesting little nugget in there. Rafael Devers is sort of the face of the team, I guess, although Jaron Duran was, I believe, a little more high profile last year. We all know some of the issues he's had, but I'm a card-carrying member of the Jaron Duran fan club. Casas is not who you want to have be the face of the team. He's an interesting and unique gentleman.
He's too weird.
We just flat out.
He's too weird.
He's absolute space cadet.
I love him. He's too weird.
Yeah, he's way too weird. But you know, it seems like Soto knows that with wherever he goes for $600 million, he doesn't seem like he's going to be shy about being the man. Like he's okay with the spotlight. Like last year, this contract free agency performance based year with the Yankees, granted they have the short porch and right, but he hit just as well on the road as well. He absolutely is comfortable with being a star. Now, of course, it helps when you're surrounded by somebody like Aaron Judge. When the American League MVP is your battery, the guy that you're hitting next to in the lineup as well, like that oftentimes helps. And Carl says he's the most dangerous hitter in baseball. I don't think so. I think it's Otani and Judge, your NL and AL MVP, then everybody else. But you're going to have to, it's the right time for him to hit free agency. You're going to have to overpay for it. But there is that nice little side piece to the idea that he would embrace the leadership role. Yes, like Ortiz would like teach
right.
him, this is how you be a star in Boston.
Here's the thing, Fitzy, is really, I mean, since Ortiz's retirement and the way that the roster has, that they've moved on from huge pieces of the roster, like I think the closest that you got in that clubhouse to a real, somebody who really wanted to embrace being the face of the team was Xander Bogaerts. And, you know, obviously he moved on. Rafael Devers has never really appeared to, at least publicly, want to embrace that role. Mookie seemed a little uncomfortable in mm-hmm. the Boston market and obviously has been with the Dodgers for years and years and years now.
But they got great return there on him, though, when they traded him.
Well, you have had all these guys at different moments of the last couple years, like Verdugo trying to lead a team meeting about, like, let's get things on the right track. Them, you know, really pushing Devers to be that guy. There just hasn't been somebody who seems to have the gravitas, the personality, and the brand to be able mm-hmm. to really ascend to that role. And I think that if Soto wanted to come here and do that, that it would just be a very natural fit. So I wouldn't even say that it's like a bonus. I think it's kind of something that your clubhouse has needed personality-wise to pair with Alex Cora over the last several seasons.
One more call on Soto. I know we're a little bit late to the break here, but I want to clean up everything in Isle Soto before we move on to some Patriots talk as well. Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer calling in sometime in the back half of the 12 o'clock hour. All right, Stephen Fall River, what do you got, fella?
I want what you've got again. You encapsulated why they shouldn't take him, and you said it, and I can't remember. You need to rip that off again. You said two sentences why you don't like the Soto deal.
Pitching.
You can't remember.
Pitching. Pitching's
I know what. And I'm talking about Fitzy. I know what you said, Mango. They just have to do it to prove to you and the rest of Red Sox Nation that they're serious again. That's not a plan. I want my team running on a plan, and the plan has been completely opposite of this for the last 4 years. If I was one of the minority investors, I'd be screaming at us saying, what are we doing here? We're going to have a PR disaster if we don't get them, because the Mets are going to outspend us. And this goes completely contrary to what we've been doing. Why can't they trade two of these abundant young players for a hitter and a pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
All this Mookie Betts, everything they've done is reactive. They got Trevor Story a lousy contract because they were hedging their bets against Bogaerts. They gave this Devers a crazy contract because they had to, because they let Bogaerts go. I think they signed the manager, by the way, to appease PR. They've been doing things kind of reactive. But they've been staying with this Bill LaFont system, and it's here. Now, do what you got to do with it. I don't see going out and getting one, or even trying to get one, so, because I don't think they have the best chance to get him. I don't care what David Ortiz or the other guy says. If the Mets are going to throw more money at him, remember who his agent is.
Scott Boras. That's right.
And Mego, were you wringing your hands when they didn't give him a money talk? They didn't offer money on the first go round. That's gonna go down in 2004, 2024 is the most absurd complaint we've had this year. They didn't give him a numbers offers on their first meet and greet. Like Scott Boras is just gonna jump at it. I mean, that was by hands far and away the most ridiculous.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve. By and large, a good call, but we have to.
I don't really understand where it went.
I don't know where. No, Scott Boras. He's saying that, like, if they didn't offer, make an offer the first time.
Because they didn't make a contract offer the first
time. Well, first of all, sometimes you just want to go talk. Like, you can say you're interested, but you also know with Scott Boras, like, there's going to be, you know, like in real estate, sometimes it's first and last, first and best, come back in again, cash, contingent, no inspection, whatever. Scott Boras makes sure he talks to everyone and tries to get every last dollar he can out of everybody. I'm sure the Red Sox have dealt with him many times and know how best to handle Scott Boras. That said, I do appreciate some of Steve's points on the first portion of his call in that, yes, the Red Sox, I would prefer they prioritize pitching and defense, trade for some hitters as well, and see what you got with some of the kids that you want to keep and deal away some of the other ones as well, Mego. I see why they want to sign Soto. He does present a good point that they could have a PR backlash. But anyway, if something breaks in the Juan Soto news, we've been way more Red Sox than we probably even planned to be. But hey, sometimes what we got to do, Mego, is we have to go where the people want us to go. That was a fun start to the program. We're a little bit late for the trend, so let's give it over to Braverman in just a moment. And when we come back, let's get into the Patriots. Let's get into all things football. Let's see what we got for Pats at Colts on Sunday and so much more. 617-779-7937. There's your telephone number. And here's your trending sports news with the one and the only Joe Braverman.
The one I land on, though, is resigned. Like, I think that they understand where they're at. Like, they understand that it's going to take a while. And I think the reality of, look, this was always going to be a multi-offseason rebuild has hit them in the face. And so you're resigned to where you are. You had too many holes at too many premium positions to get it done in short order. And this is a transition year. And I think a lot of people around here have talked about this as if it's year two of the rebuild. It's not. It's year one. And so you're certainly not out of the woods yet. And I think the Crafts are resigned to that right now.
Albert Breer on NBC Sports Boston earlier this week talking about the fact that the New England Patriots ownership group, Robert Kraft and Company, are resigned to the idea that this is a long-term rebuild. And so for those out there that want to see Elliott Wolf, the coordinators, and most especially Jerod Mayo, or Gerard, as Jermaine Wiggy Wiggins likes to call him on a regular basis.
And just about everybody in every booth on the game on Sundays.
Yeah. It just.
Why is it so hard to say? Gerard
Mayo. It's not that hard. Like, they called him Gerard Mayo on like two or three times I've heard on Fox and CBS. I've heard Gerard Mayo. J-E-R-O-D. Gerard. That's it. It's that easy. Anyway, people that say, Mayo's got to go. He's not going to make it through the first season. It doesn't deserve a second season. Like, whether you think he does or doesn't deserve another season, guess what? He's probably going to be here for at least two, maybe three. Like, you can't just start a rebuild and say, you're the right person to shepherd it. No, wait a second. We were wrong. Let's confound our own selves. You know, at deep six the plans and start again. Like, that's not to say that if you realize you made a mistake or that someone is in over their heads or the task and responsibility are beyond their pay grade, that doesn't mean that you can't make a shift. But I believe the Pats are going to stick with him for a while to come. You know who's not going to?
Jared Mayo talked about his
Jared. I forgot about Jared Mayo, too. Don't forget Gerard and Jared Mayo. Mago, you know who's not going to be returning to the sidelines?
The Floose.
That's
the
right.
The Floose is loose.
That's right. Floose season. It is Floose season no longer in Chicago. The end of the game yesterday that you watched and thought was so abysmal, so
awful.
Poorly handled, and it was, has now cost someone their job. 15 minutes ago from Ian Rappaport, sources, Bears coach Matt Eberflus has been fired after an ugly loss to the Lions, the team's sixth in a row. Chicago now has the NFL's third head coach opening. I can't believe I saw this on Underdog. They had a little picture card with a quote from Eberflus. He said in his post-game presser yesterday, I think we handled it the right way.
Oh, God.
The way that they ran out the clock.
And guess what? The Bears did, too, by canning him.
Yeah, exactly. Jay Glazer tweeted out a few minutes ago, Eberflus fired. Thomas Brown, who was the interim offensive coordinator, is now the interim head coach. The Bears organization was infuriated after the game and couldn't hold back afterwards.
Well, with good reason.
Yeah,
with
that
good
was,
reason.
That was the single worst display of coach to quarterback communication and late game management I've ever seen. Like, they had a chance. Not only, they should have tied. Tying the game was on the table. That was a definite. I bet you probably couldn't even have gotten an odd on that on FanKings or DraftDuel. However, winning the game was also an opportunity. That's the winning time of the game.
They you better hurry.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is disaster.
They botched that so badly. It was unbelievable. At Corked Bats, I heard his severance package includes one timeout. Hey,
that's not nice. The man has already lost his job. You don't need to pile on.
I'm with Andy Hart. I never advocate or cheer for somebody losing their job, although my Gmail address used to be pleasefiregradylittle@gmail.com. Sorry, I was that mad in 2003. I got my wish. Then I changed my email
address. This is probably the least surprising
least
move. It's more surprising that it took till the afternoon, honestly, for at least the news to come out, because it was just a public embarrassment.
Yep.
And that is a franchise that is now treading into former Washington territory in terms of really being lost, like really losing their grip on direction. Obviously, they've been without a franchise quarterback forever, and just churning through these coaches. And now you have Caleb Williams, who I do think will be a player. Like, I do think he's a guy. I think he's been really up and down this season compared to the expectations he had coming in. But you can't mess around. Like, you can't Justin Fields this up. You know, this
you can't
time
Fields it up.
This time you have to hit it. And so I wonder if they will call Belichick tomorrow, or if they'll wait until the end of the weekend to open up that little back channel to him. I am looking at the odds for his next team. The latest ones I could find were from about 2 weeks ago. Cowboys still lead at plus
nope,
350.
That's not happening.
Bears are next, plus 450. This one I think should definitely be higher, actually. I think this one should be higher than those two previous. Giants are plus 650. And then it goes Eagles, Jets, which is never going to happen, Bengals, no. Browns.
Bengals, they also, like, you think the Crafts are resigned to a multi-year rebuild and are going to hold on to Gerard Mayo, for better or worse, for longer than you imagine? The Cincinnati Bengals are the least reactionary organization in the history of professional sports. They let people, just the way Jerry Jones holds on to coaches for far too long, Dave Campo getting several years, other people that had no business.
Marvin Lewis had much more of a leash than
like
we all
two
thought.
Two decades. The defense needs, the offense looks just fine by me, and that's his specialty. The defense is where they experience the attrition on that team, and that's what's fallen apart, and that's why they've lost a lot of these games. They score plenty of points. Joe Burrow, in any other season where they weren't 4-7, would be an MVP candidate. And Ja'Marr Chase is playing out of his mind. That guy's going to be the first $40 million receiver. And quite honestly, that's what the market bears, and he's worth it. To me, Mego, you and I are hive mind 100% on this. I am going to wager on Bill Belichick being the next coach of the Chicago Bears. And it makes all the sense in the world, even though I know they don't have the coastline that he probably covets. Look what they have.
People
they
try to sell you on that lake. I'm like, that's not an ocean.
It's a legacy franchise, first and foremost. Like, you're talking an original NFL team. Like, that, you know, the Hallis, the legacy. Like, he loves the great history of the NFL, the storied Chicago Bears, the monsters of the Midway. Okay, you have a quarterback. Sure, he can probably be a handful in the age of the NIL superstars and a pain in the ass, but he's got talent to spare and physical gifts and tools that you need to win at the next level. You've got offensive stars on the team already with Kmet and Swift and Adunze, who hasn't even scratched the surface of his potential. You've got a good defense with some really, really good players, and you got draft picks, and I bet you the only issue would be the control Belichick desires versus Ryan Pohl staying in place. They certainly have done a great job in the draft. That trade with Bryce Young, it's nice to see him actually coming around a little bit, by the way, seemed masterful for them at this point. Imagine Josh McDaniels getting a chance to work with Caleb Williams and what he could possibly do if Belichick gets the Friends of Belichick gang back together again. I think it's a no-brainer to me. Absolute no-brainer.
Also, just to hear Belichick say,
"Stop, Bear."
I hear you, Fitzy. I still think when we...
Is he a deep dish guy, Mego?
Oh, definitely. Please. I find it hard to believe that there are many dishes you could put in front of Belichick that he would turn his nose up at, especially Chicago deep dish. But... like, I think there's a ton of things about the Bears that would appeal to him. Mm-hmm. I do think that it just would make too much sense with the Giants already giving up on their season at this point and Daboll probably being gone, and maybe Daboll goes to the Patriots and takes Van Pelt's job. I don't know. I'm just talking aloud here, thinking aloud, like working through it. But I do feel like the Giants are really where Bill would want to be. Like, I think at the end of the day, that would feel like, for him, like a full circle situation. He gets the record there, goes back. You know, they're in a horrible place in terms of their roster and their quarterback situation. But I still think that he's just so in love with that franchise.
And some people, like the 508 texters, see Belichick not being able to get along with Caleb Williams.
Well, he's going to, what?
I think
he appreciates
talent.
Yeah, I think. See, I agree with you on that.
That's ultimately the respect that he gives. Like, if he thinks you're talented, he's gonna respect you.
And Joe and Texter and all in the audience, if there's any one person that Caleb Williams, as aloof as he may come across, as unique and sometimes bizarre, whatever, excessively emotional, erratic, talent speaks. You know, talent talks. And if there's anybody that I think Caleb Williams would probably listen to or fall in line for, Mego, I think it would be a Bill Belichick. That's somebody who could walk in the room and immediately command respect as far as the organization and Caleb Williams and the way he does business. Listen, let's try to get back on the scheduling track. We're going to have Jeremy Springer, Patriots special teams coordinator, calling in just a few minutes as well. I see your calls lined up on Mayo and the Bears game and Belichick. So we'll get to all you guys. We'll keep breaking this down. In just a few moments, Matt Eberflus fired by the Chicago Bears. Could the Midway, could the Second City be the next stop on the Belichick tour, the final place where he pursues the Don Shula all-time wins record? We'll get to your thoughts and ours and more coming up here. It's Fitzy and Mego on a Black Friday here on WEEI.
Yeah, well, I think he's done a good job when he's been able to scramble and run around, made some plays on play action where they can separate the defense, because the running game, when Stevenson can get it going, is... you know, draw some of the coverage and the linebackers up and so forth. But, you know, to me, the bigger thing is just where the Bears are. I mean, they can't protect. They can't move the ball. They can't score any points. We talked about this at the beginning of the year, Pat, in Chicago. You know, they have this all-star quarterback, these all-star receivers, you know, the greatest skill players in the history of football. And the offensive line's a problem. They can't run the ball. They can't protect. Swift is doing all he can, but, you know, it's just, you know, hard.
That was Bill Belichick on an appearance on the Pat McAfee Show right after the New England Patriots went to Chicago and beat the Bears 19-3 in a very lopsided affair. Of course, if you've missed the breaking news, Matt Eberflus is now the former head coach of the Chicago Bears. He was dismissed this morning following yesterday's mishandling, if you will, of the winning time in the game against the Detroit Lions. Bears losing 23-20. The organization was very unhappy, and I believe Eberflus, who was mired at the time, in a five-game losing streak, now six, handled it terribly, said he had no apologies about it whatsoever, and the organization said, well, now you don't have a job to come back to. So that's the end of that, and we have been speculating here as to whether or not Bill Belichick would be a good fit for the Chicago Bears. We believe so. I'm very curious if other people think he would be. He was very critical of the organization, obviously, in the way they handled that game. They were terrible. You know, Belichick, classic Belichick, if you will, Mego, just talking about how, you know, you can have all these weapons, you can talk about all these fancy signings and moves you make, but without the fundamentals, without good coaching and solid line play, you got a whole lot of nothing as well. And he said what a lot of people around here probably didn't want to say, but probably believed to be true in their heart of hearts, that the Patriots winning that day 19-3 was every bit as much about Chicago's disorganization and lack of preparation as it was the Patriots playing better that day.
Right, and you should still feel good about that. I mean, you should still feel good that yeah. you weren't the more embarrassing team on the field. I don't know. That sounds like the most backhanded compliment that I could give the Patriots, but I swear I don't mean it that way. I mean, like, you should at least even just look at the quarterback situation and feel stronger about where you are there. I'm wondering, Fitzy, do you watch the Manning cast?
Regularly, yes.
Okay. Bill's been really good on it. I have to say, he is, week by week, he gets funnier and funnier. I actually think that Brady could take a couple notes on the filter that Bill has lost on that when he talks about other teams and he talks about, like, his opinion of certain players. I mean, the game that they were doing Monday night, Rager was in, and he was like, yeah, Rager's got great speed, he's a great athlete, but his hands, that's always been who he's been. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, you signed that guy. You know?
Yeah, like, he knows. That's why he played him on special teams and not at receiver, though, last year.
I know, and we're hoping to talk to the special teams coordinator shortly, Jeremy Springer. That is what we call a big big market tease there, Fitzy. But nice work. I loved it. Like, I am loving it from Bell. And so I just wanted to plug that, because I know not everyone loves the Manning cast because they like watching with a traditional announcer and all that, and I get that. But he's been really funny. And you always hear about how Bill is very dry and has this sense of humor behind the scenes, very different than who he is when he's at the podium. But I'm like, I don't know, maybe bring more of that, Bill, if you end up in Chicago, New York, wherever you are. Still don't buy that.
I honestly think he's been great.
He's been really
on the
good.
Manning cast. Matt Patricia is obviously sending him the best questions.
His
How funny
notes?
Was that, by the way?
Yeah.
Did you see that everyone zoomed in when he was holding up
first
the Gmail
all,
printout
first of
and
all,
it says from Matt Patricia?
Guys, get a life. But I also appreciate it. But get a life. It's so funny.
It's what so do you think good. His inbox looked like 24 hours later?
Oh, my God. I'm sure he probably doesn't even look at his inbox. He has somebody, you know, it's not Bears anymore, but somebody looks at his inbox and prints it for him in color, which is nice. That's how you know that Bill's still doing well, getting paid by the crafts this year. He's printing everything out in color.
Yeah, no, it's very good. I love that. I think he's great. And that's a good point also, not to, you know, veer too far off course here as we talk about whether or not Belichick would be the right fit and a good choice for the Bears. I think that's where he would probably be able to get that Shula wins record as well. I think there's enough talent in place.
He just looks like a Chicago guy, too.
He does.
Like,
they would love him.
He looks.
Add Belichick on the Bears. We had Ditka, and then we suffered for 30-something years.
There. I don't know if there's a big Czech population there, but I feel like it would be, like, very, it'd be great for him.
There's a lot of everything. I mean, there's a lot
of. It's a melting pot.
There's a lot of Eastern European food in Chicago, for sure. It's not just all Italian food and deep dish and whatnot. It is a melting pot. It's also just an incredible city. And if you're Belichick, you know, would you want to go to Jacksonville? Do you want to go to one of these places where every check mark is there? They'll pay
isn't
you.
Isn't this what we said about Brady? Defense. And he ended up in Tampa forever? Like, but he's still a Florida man.
I know. That's very funny you say that. But I will say that I was early in on Brady going to Tampa, like back in early February. Only Fourier and I were the only two at the station at the time that were in on Tom Brady going to Tampa. And although no one wants to give me credit for it, that's fine. This makes all the sense. This is the one I'm going to stick with. And if he goes somewhere else, fine. But I'm going to say Belichick to the Bears makes the absolute most sense. You've got everything you need. A head coach opening, a talented quarterback. You can fix the line in the draft and free agency. You've got a good defense. You've got wide receivers. You've got a thirsty fan base. Football history, legacy, Halas, Ditka, Super Bowls, everything. I think it would be absolutely awesome. Okay, little update here. I believe we are going to have Jeremy Springer calling us in just a few minutes. We'll check in. So what we'll do now is we'll take a break, Mego. We'll come back at high 1 o'clock here on the show, and we will be joined by Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer. Then we'll get into our preview of Colts at Patriots and so much more, and we'll keep the lines open for you guys. Eberflus fired. Could that be where Belichick goes? Could he be the new leader of the Monsters of the Midway? We'll see what happens, folks. We'll talk to you in just a couple minutes. It's Fitzy and Mego here on WEEI.